News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning and welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas, with me like always, Rick Van Dyvendyke. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Jay.
Big, beautiful blue sky, not a cloud out there. It's looking like a beautiful day, at least where we are in Saskatoon. Wow. Yeah, it's here we are, July, almost the end of July. Can you believe that?
Almost the end. It's quite incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the summer is really flying by. You know, it really is. Let's start the show by saying you can call us right now, 1-877-332-8255. That's where you also send your texts in, and early bird gets the worm, so to speak. So we love to get texts going right away. We love to get calls going right away. But I thought we'd start by talking, Rick, about some of the things you've been getting calls about. And, you know, just driving in here this morning, I noticed that a lot of the sort of the ditches, you know, on the freeways and things like that, they're not quite as green as they used to be.
Well, that's a normal thing this time of the year. You're going to see the grasses, you know, because it's starting to mature, just like a crop's in the field starting to mature. You know, they're starting to see them turn brown and get it to seed, right? And so you're going to see a lot of the grasses start to turn brown. And whereas this year, the grasses were so green out in the countryside for so long. It was unbelievable. It was unprecedented how long they were. But this is a normal process for those type of plants, and you're going to see that a lot. But something I wanted to touch on first, though, Jay.
Yep.
Today ends a little bit of an error. And and I know you probably didn't want to talk about this very much, but this is Jay's last show.
This is my last show. It is.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. I think you and I have been doing this for probably, we're trying to figure it out. I think it's something like about 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I think been at least that.
Yeah. You've been doing the show a lot longer than that. There was lots of other previous hosts before me. But yeah, it is my last show. I'm moving on to bigger and better things. So this is the last one.
And Jay's moving on to go and sell vehicles at Meidel Honda in Saskatoon.
You bet. Yeah.
So I think that I wish you good success there, Jay. And this is just for all our listeners. If you're looking for a car, go see, from all over Saskatchewan, just go see Jay over at Meidel Honda in Saskatoon.
Well, there's the shameless plug, I guess, eh?
There you go.
At least you did it for me, Rick. I didn't have to do it myself.
Yeah, there you go. So
okay.
Well, thank you very much for all of this time you put into the show, Jay, and I really appreciate it and really enjoyed my time hosting with you.
Well, much the same sentiment from me. Yeah, I've had a blast, Rick. The backstory is I worked for Rick when I was a kid, when I was like 16 years old. My very first job was working at Dutch Growers because it was the neighborhood I grew up in.
Yeah.
So I worked for him for a couple of summers when I was in high school, and then we got to host this show together too. So yeah, it's been great working with you, Rick.
It's been a good run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Let's start with some of the calls and the texts because they are rolling in now. So let's go out to Moose Jaw right now, and we're going to talk to Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your question for us?
I tried growing potatoes in the potato in the bag method.
Yes.
And they were doing great until about a week and a half ago. And now the leaves are starting to die.
Okay. So one thing you got to watch for when you have potatoes in the bag, the moisture is critical because obviously the heat from the side, hitting the side of the bag is going to warm up that soil. And so you have to really watch, and it's hard to probe a soil bag because you don't want to poke a potato, right? But you do have to really monitor the soil moisture, and also you have to monitor because what type of soil did you use in the bag?
Potting soil.
Like a potting
soil? It had a vermiculite or a perlite in it and stuff.
Yeah. And so one thing to watch with potatoes, with the potting soil, because have you fertilized it all this summer at all in that potting mix?
No, I didn't. They were going really good.
Yeah. So what's happening, because the potatoes are starting to actually produce their tubers, they've run out of energy as well. So you need to use a quick release organic fertilizer with a very low nitrogen, but it has all the other micronutrients, and you need to water that plant so that, because right now there's with watering you've done, you've leached everything out of that soil because there's not very much nutrients to begin with in the potting soil. And so you're going to need to add some nutrients now because it's basically all roots and tubers and have run out of food. So that's going to be very important. And you're going to need to do that at least once a week, okay?
Once a week, okay.
Yep.
All right.
And
thank you very
I
much.
Think once you do that, just watch your moisture. Stick your finger into the soil. Make sure it's moist, but more on the drier side, but moist. But the nutrients is huge for potatoes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Have a great day. 1-877-332-8255. We'll keep going with the calls, and we'll get to the texts in just a second. We're going to go to Regina right now and talk to Jean. Good morning, Jean.
Hi there. My question is about beets. I have someone I know wants to use the tops of my beets for something they make for the farmer's market. I don't know what they make. If I cut them off, will the bottom part of the beet continue to grow? Or
no, they won't. If you cut them all off, then your beets will basically stay suspended to the size they are, because they need the leaves to create energy for that bulb.
Now, you can trim some of them off at a few off at a time, though, Rick, can't you?
Yes, as long as you're leaving some of the leaves. You can't take them all.
Oh, okay. That's great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you,
Gene. I miss you, Jay.
Oh, thanks very much, Gene. That's sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
At 1-877-332-8255. And you know what? Gene's talking about, because I'm Ukrainian, they're called beatniks. And there's lazy beatniks and there's regular ones. And it's like the different version of a cabbage roll. So picture, instead of rice in the middle, it is a piece of bread dough. And then you wrap a beet leaf around it and you put them in a, you know, casserole. Lots of whipping cream, fresh dill, some onions, and you bake it all, and it is amazing. And the bread bakes inside the cream, inside the beet leaf. And they have a really incredible taste. They don't really taste like much when they're, like, uncooked, but they have a real taste when they're cooked, so.
Okay, now you're making me hungry.
Oh, it's good. And then if you want to be lazy, you put it in a casserole. Instead of doing all that rolling work, you just, you know, layer rice and dill and the leaves and rice and dill and the leaves and the cream and bake it all again. Yeah, it's the most unhealthy thing you could probably think of, but they're delicious.
So just add to your COVID-16, right?
Yeah. The quarantine 15. That's right.
Okay.
1-877-332-8255. We've got a couple more minutes till we get to the done the first segment of our show. So we're going to go over the text line right now. Let's see. First one that came in, I believe, this morning was really early, like half an hour before the show started. So we'll go with Diane's text. She's from Fort Qu'Appelle. Says, shoots are growing from the tree roots. Is there something that can be used to kill the growth without killing the tree?
Yeah, you can use two products you can use. One, you can use Path Clear. Or another product you can use is Roundup Advance.
Yeah.
Not just regular Roundup. It's called Roundup Advance. It's a very particular product because it's basically a horticultural soap on both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to basically, that what will happen is that it's not a cure. It's a control. So what you do is you cut your suckers down to the ground. And then because you got all that big stool bed of all the different suckers. Every time you cut one, if you just cut them, and two come up in place of where you cut the one. So what you want to do is cut them down, everything down as low as the ground as you can, and then you want to basically just spritz the leaves as soon as they start popping out of the ground. Okay, so you don't want to wait till they're 3 feet high again. You want to just, when a little tiny leaf comes out of the ground, spray them, and you can do that once a week, and it'll burn them off, and then you won't get the stooling. And so it'll burn them off, and it won't translocate back into the main plant. But you have to, like I said, it's a control, it's not a cure.
Okay. Perfect. All right. 1-877-332-8255. We'll get one more text in, and we'll go to our break. This is from Sharon in Saskatoon. Says, what can you do about quackgrass? We've got so much in our lawn. It's taking it over. We're making our front walk a bit wider. So we took some of the good grass from there, plus some turf from our neighbors. They gave us a whole bunch that they had pulled out and replaced some pieces. Anyways, still have some quackgrass in the back. How do we get rid of it and keep it at bay? It seems to just take over.
Yeah, that's really tough. Other than digging it all up and trying to get all the roots out, the only other way of doing it is actually cutting your grass really short,
mm-hmm.
and then give it some water. And then what happened, if you notice, the quack grass grows quicker and faster and wider blades than the regular grass. So it's going to grow taller. And then what you do is you take an old squeegee type of floor mop, with a sponge, with the ones with the sponge on them.
The bee mop, yep.
And then you dip it into some Roundup, and then you wring it out a bit so it's not dripping, it's just moist, and then you walk backwards and you swipe the grass blades that are taller, and you get the Roundup onto the grass blades, and then in 7 to 14 days you'll see that grass die, but not the grass underneath, okay? And so that tends to be the best way to do it. You got to remember, I said that walk backwards. There's a reason. If you walk forwards,
yeah,
you're going to see in 14 days, you're going to see your footprints because you're going to press that Roundup down into the other grass.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a pretty precise job, though, right? Because one little slip or a trip, and you push the mop into the rest of the grass, and you've done it. But
that's why I like using the mop for it, because you can basically have pretty good control over it.
Yeah,
it's either that, or you can take a paintbrush and you can start painting each leaf, you know, of the grass that you have. If you have small little patches, you know,
hands and knees, yeah, down there, yeah, for forever, all day,
down,
yeah,
there forever.
Okay, so for Sharon, good luck with the crackgrass. That's our, yep, best idea for you. We're going to take a quick break right now. We've got more texts coming in. Connie in Saskatoon, Debbie in Yorkton, Karen, who's in Beaver Flat, Jerry in North Battleford. We're going to get to Tom, who's in Choiceland. He's on the phone lines. He'll be first up when we get back. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm Jay Thomas. With me, like always, Rick Van Dyvendyke. All right, Rick, it is a big, beautiful, blue sky, sunny day. And, hey, it's Sunday, too. You know, a day off. That feels pretty good. Let's get back to the text line and back to the calls. This call, first up, waiting the longest, is Tom, who's out in Choiceland right now. Good morning, Tom.
Hi there.
Hi there. What is your question for us?
I was wondering, I slept in last week. I just caught the end of the show, and they were talking about potato bugs. And I know that one lady said about these bush beans, but I know that'd be too late to do that now, right? So
correct. Yeah, no, you're too late. The bush beans, you could start, if you have seed, you could start it, even fine seed. You could start them. I mean, obviously, the you're not going to get a production, but you'll get the plant to grow. So either that, or another thing that our phoners have been, callers have been telling us, is put slices of onions in with your potatoes as well, and that'll help keep them away as well. So there's been a whole bunch of home remedies that people have said they've used, and they've had really good luck.
So what do you mean? Do you put the onions in when you plant them, or what?
Yeah, put the onion, slice of onions right beside the potato when you plant.
Oh, because like my mom said here, that's what I was phoning her, my mom's garden, she was saying that it's only like three plants that she's been finding them on.
Yep. Yeah.
And she said the big ones, like the mother, she knows because she's had them, and she just squashes them, right?
That's correct. Yep. A lot of people just squash them. You know, that's the number one thing, because there's not very many other sprays you can use and those kind of things, because of the flowers and the bees and everything else. You don't want to be spraying too much, so just squishing them or doing some companion planting, like you say, the beans or the slice of onion in the hole, doing those kind of things to help deter the pests.
Okay, so you'd have to do that in the spring when you plant the beans and the onions, right?
Exactly.
Okay, and then another thing that I kind of missed there too was, you guys were talking about how to control the maggots in your onions and your radishes and stuff, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's what you want to use. It's called a Bug Be Gone nematodes. And you spray this nematodes. It's another insect that goes down and attacks those grubs. That's the best thing that works right now. All the other insecticides are all gone.
Yeah, because I know my mom used to use them other insecticides, and they're gone. You're right.
Yeah, they're all gone. So the nematodes was another biological. It's another insect that goes after the grubs.
Okay, and then...
Does not attack your vegetables.
Yeah, okay. So, and then you said you could pour that out of a watering can too, right?
Yeah, a watering can, or you use a special sprayer, because regular sprayers just plug up with this stuff. So you can use a special sprayer, or you can mix it in a watering can, yes.
Yeah, because the water can be the way to go, because we already got three sprayers.
So. Perfect.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Patient.
You bet. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
1-877-332-8255. Let's keep going with some of the calls we've got. Ruth, you're going to be up next, but we're going to Viceroy right now to talk to Shirley. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Right on.
I have a question. We have four, they're separate trees, little like bushes, and they're about 6 feet tall, and one is starting to die. What do I do? The leaves are starting to turn orange, and what do I do to...
You had a boost.
Okay, there's two things. There's a bunch of things that could be happening with it. Number one is moisture or too wet. Okay, that's number one.
Okay.
Especially the leaves turn yellow first and then turn sort of a brown or go crispy. It could be watering either too wet or too dry. You have to probe the soil to find that out. The other thing, it depends on if it's 6 foot high, what type of shrub it is. If it's things like a cotoneaster, do you know what type of plant it is?
No.
You know, it's really hard. You almost should bring a sample of your leaves to your garden center or a greenhouse that's close to you, and a lot of people will be able to help you identify that, because there's so many things that it could be depending on the species of plant.
Like
a cotoneaster, it could be fire blight. And so then you need to deal with that right away. So best thing to do is bring a sample into a garden center or a greenhouse in your local area, and they'll get them to identify it.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care, Shirley.
Yeah, bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Yeah, we got time for another one. Let's go to Yellow Creek right now, and we're going to talk to Ruth. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
What is your question for us?
Yes, it is about, my apple trees and cherry trees. They were in full bloom, just full of blooms this spring, but there's no fruit. But, I'm kind of thinking we had a fairly heavy frost after they had bloomed.
Yep.
Like the blooms were still there, if that would be the problem.
That would be the biggest problem.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That would be the one thing. The other thing is that a lot of times, and if you had both the cherry and the apple, that's probably the exact reason.
Okay.
If it was just one of them, like just the apple, it could be that it had a really big harvest the year previous, and then it takes a year off, right? But if both the cherry and the apple, it's probably because of that frost.
Okay. And I have two of the apple trees that have a fair amount of dead branches coming on. The one is kind of up the center, the main trunk, and the other one has two of the more smaller branches that seem to be dying off.
Okay,
and the leaves on the ones that are dying off are kind of curled up.
Are they curled up? Are they rusty brown leaves at all?
No, they didn't turn brown, but they just are dying, that the leaves kind of look like they're curled.
Yeah, any damage on the trunk that you can see, either from a sap sucker, holes, like a woodpecker, or any chewing on the trunk at all?
You know, I never really looked close for that, but I know we've had problems with sap suckers here.
Yeah, so take a look at that, and then you may have some damage to the trunk. And I know I'm looking out my window right now at a mountain ash, and the one side of the tree is the leaves are really tiny and small. And I went out and looked, and sure enough, it was just riddled with a sapsucker hole. So that's really affected the tree. And so check for that. Otherwise, if the branches are dead, make sure you prune them out, and make sure after every cutting with your saw or your pruners or whatever you're using, sterilize those pruners just in case there is a disease in there. You don't want to spread it to the rest of your tree.
Okay. Yeah,
but if they're totally dead.
Yeah, like I said, that sapsucker that was here, well, twice it was here, was after the one white lilac bush that I have. That's where I'd seen it. So I'm going to check the apple tree.
So check the apple tree. But otherwise, if they're totally dead, prune them out so that you don't have that. It doesn't start spreading, okay, if there's a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ruth. Take care.
Bye.
All right, 1-877-332-8255. That's where you call and you text. Okay, let's go to the text line right now, Rick. Here's an easy one because we got our bottom of the hour break coming up really quickly here. Jerry North Battleford just asks, when's a good time to prune the lower branches of a pine tree?
Anytime now. Now we're into the end of July. Great time to prune pines, maples, and birches. That's the great time, so you can prune them right now. The saps aren't—they're finished their main push of growth now,
right?
And now the saps are starting to head down a bit and not pushing up. So now is a great time to do those pines or spruces as well.
Now that's the same thing that goes for birches and maples too.
Birches and maples—you only want to prune during basically the July 15th until September 30th. That's when you want to prune birches, maples, and pines especially, because otherwise they bleed so much in the spring.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to get Beth on. She's on the line, and we'll get her call after we get back from the break. Lots of texts still to answer. Connie in Saskatoon, Debbie in Yorkton. We'll get some of these answered during the break here, too, and text you back with some as well. Okay, we'll be back right away. Enjoy the news update. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. Rick Van Dyvendyke is with me as well right now. Okay, big, beautiful blue sky. It's a beautiful Sunday. This is one of those days, Rick, where I feel like, you got to get out and go for that Sunday drive. I think the Sunday drive has really come back into its own, hasn't it?
I think you're right, Jay. And, getting out to the country and where you can do your social distancing, even go for a little walk in the country. It's quite relaxing.
Exactly. And if you're looking for something else that's really, really fun to do that, you know, is another kind of comeback, the other thing you can do is go to a drive-in movie theater, right?
Yeah, I've seen it more. I mean, even some of the arenas and that kind of stuff were doing that kind of thing earlier in the season where they had the parking lot and trying to bring people in and setting up big screens for movies outside.
I'm just trying to find, I think that tonight... there's a good one. So the Jubilee Drive-In Theater at Manitou Beach, that's kind of middle of the province. You can get there from, you know, Saskatoon, Regina within a reasonable amount of time. Last night was American Graffiti up on the screen, that old show. Animal Houses that was there. And I think you're going to be able to see if I'm looking at this right, I think they're playing Grease tonight.
Oh,
like Grease the musical, yeah.
You know, so, another classic one in drive-in theater should be the Twister, right?
Twister, yeah, that would be great.
Oh, right, the scene right where they come where the tornado comes right through the drive-in theater.
Yeah, no doubt. So they've been playing all kinds of like nostalgia stuff. There was Dirty Dancing Weekend. They did Beetlejuice. Oh, there it is. Okay, here it is, Rick. Your wish came true. August 13th to 16th. So the August 14th, Friday, August 14th, Twister is playing at Jubilee Drive-In, Manitou Beach.
There you go.
They read your mind. Okay, let's get to some calls. Let's go to Kinistano right now, and we will talk to Beth. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
What's your question for us?
I have an old rose hedge. It's probably 60-plus years old, yep. And I've lived here for 20 years, and I think I've only seen this the last 2 years. After it flowers, it turns kind of a burnt, yellowy, rusty color. I don't know if it's from too much rain, which, I mean, we've certainly had, but it's putting out new growth. But, I mean, it looks terrible, and I don't know what the problem is.
Is it rusty? Is also a lot of yellow leaves?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you're having is basically two things that are happening. One is a nutrient deficiency. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that is caused by you need to check the pH of your soil.
Okay.
I would suggest your pH of your soil is probably up above 7.4.
Okay.
If it is, then your plant can't take up nutrients, but you're still getting some new growth, right?
Yes,
but
I am. Yeah.
Your old leaves are turning yellow and discolored and everything else. So you need to get a little pH test kit from a garden center.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Use some distilled water. Do not use tap water to do your test with.
Okay.
And check your pH of your soil.
Okay.
If you find that the greener, of course, the darker greener the test will result in, mm-hmm. will show that your pH is really high. And if your pH is high, then you need to bring it down with some aluminum sulfate.
Okay. All right. Okay? Interesting.
And I think that you'll see that the plant will actually thrive and be actually hardier and actually will bloom better for you if you can get your pH down to around 7.
Okay. Well, it blooms fantastic. There's not an issue there.
But I think as the summer goes on, it runs out of energy, you see?
Right.
And so because it takes a lot of energy to produce those flowers, and then they produce their rose hips after that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need to check. The biggest thing I would start with first is I would check with the pH.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that, Rick.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Take care, Beth. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255 out to Regina right now, and let's talk to Terry. Hi there, Terry.
Hi there. I have calla lilies. I put them in bulbs from last year.
Yep.
And they're not doing anything. I got no flowers, nothing.
No leaves or anything?
Oh, yeah, I got beautiful leaves, but nothing else.
So what you want to do this year, then, there's probably not enough energy in those bulbs that they didn't get enough energy in the bulbs to produce the flower. So what you want to do right now is you want to fertilize that with almost like a bulb fertilizer or just an organic vegetable fertilizer would work as well. And you want to put energy in that bulb so next year it's ready to go and produce that flower for you, okay? And so that's what you need to do. You need to fertilize at least with a vegetable fertilizer once a week, okay?
Okay.
And then they'll put lots of energy back in that bulb, and then you bring it in for the fall again. And then for next spring, you know, put it into a pot and start growing it around, you know, in April sometime.
Yeah.
And then put it out, and I bet you're going to get a lot more flowers next year once you put the extra storage energy in that bulb, and that's what it needs.
So Miracle-Gro...
I wouldn't use Miracle-Gro because you need it's too high of a nitrogen, okay?
Go to
an organic vegetable fertilizer.
Okay.
And because it has more micronutrients in it also, because the Miracle-Gro doesn't have any micronutrients in it. It doesn't have all this zinc and boron and magnesium. It doesn't have all that in it, okay? And so that's what your bulb needs is all those other organic materials. So look for an organic vegetable fertilizer. It has everything. Or, like I've been telling people, just use an alfalfa pellet tea.
Yeah.
And or put some alfalfa pellets on top of, you know, the planting bed that where your bulbs are in or your pot.
Okay.
And then as you water, it just slowly releases that nutrient into the soil.
Right.
Okay.
My cucumbers, too, it's a bush cucumber in pots. And they were beautiful, but now they're turning yellow and, to produce.
If they're turning yellow, did you notice any whitish on the leaves at all?
I don't think so.
Because usually when they turn yellow, two things. There's deficiency of nutrients, for one thing. The other thing is watering over the leaves all the time. But the number one is, and that creates a thing called powdery mildew. And powdery mildew, the leaves will turn sort of curly and yellow after the mildew has done some of its damage, okay?
Oh.
So watch for powdery mildew. That's one you want to be able to keep on top of. And you can use a product, if you do have powdery mildew, you can use a product called Garden Sulfur, and that'll help to put that powdery mildew at bay.
Yeah, I don't think it's mildew. They're just turning yellow.
Yeah, then if it's turning yellow, then watch for inconsistent watering, okay, too wet or too dry, and watch for nutrients. You might be running out of nutrients in the soil as well.
Yeah, maybe it's the nutrients because we've gotten a lot of rain lately.
Yeah, so there again, using some of that organic vegetable fertilizer, because vegetables don't want a huge, like, you don't want to put 30 nitrogen on, okay?
Okay.
It's too harsh, okay?
Yeah.
So use the vegetable fertilizer, and then you'll see big, good results for your, because we still have a whole month yet to finish up your vegetables.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Good enough. Thanks, then.
Thanks, Terry. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, let's go over the text line. Rick, 1-877-332-8255. This is another lily question from Connie in Saskatoon. Says, good morning. I'm a first-time canna lily grower. The lily is west-facing. Not quite sure how to care for it. It is blooming some. However, now there are stalks with seeds forming at the end. How do I care for this plant so it produces blooms? And what do I do with the seeds that are forming? And what do I do with it at the end of the season?
Yeah, so what you can do is you can just cut the seeds off,
okay?
But other than that, that'll help. That'll usually trigger to start blooming some more.
Okay.
Okay. And then what you want to do right now, like I was telling the last caller, is just use an organic fertilizer, not a high nitrogen. You know, don't use 20-20-20 and things like that on it. It doesn't need that high of a nitrogen because it'll just produce that high of nitrogen, just produce more green leaves.
Okay.
And so, once you come to fall, just leave it outside until it gets just a touch of frost, but where the bulb won't freeze in the root ball, and then dig it up, leave the green leaves attached to it, put it someplace to dry until the leaves dry up, and then you can take that bulb and then just store it into a paper bag with a little bit of peat moss, with not very much moisture in the peat moss, and then just store it in like a cool place for the wintertime, and then bring it up in basically April again and pot it up and get it started for next year.
Okay, let's go to Debbie's text in Yorkton. She says, I've got rot on the bottom side of tomatoes, zucchini, and squash, and they're all in the same area of the garden.
Yep. So if you got blossom end rot, you have inconsistent watering. So wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry is going to cause that every day.
Okay.
It's exactly what will happen. And so also what you need to do is add a new fertilizer with calcium in it. It won't cure it. It just helps. It helps prevent it. But the number one way of stopping blossom end rot is consistent watering, just not going wet, dry, and because that'll create blossom end rot every single time.
Okay, let's get one more text before we got to go to our break here. Karen, who's in Beaver Flat, this is my first time growing broccoli, and I can't seem to get them to produce the heads. Any thought on what's wrong?
So not producing the heads. It should start producing the heads. If it's growing, it's growing all the green, she said, but not producing any heads.
Yeah.
That could be different nutrients in the soil. It could be that. It could be just a variety and just the type of year it's been, because we did have a cool start to the year and might have just been affected the plant. It could be a number one of those things.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break here. We've got Gene on the line. We've got more text to get to. We'll have to actually answer some of these off the air here, too. So stick around. More to come on Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. Rick Van Dyvendyke is with me right now. Okay, Rick, we've got a lightning round to get through texts. We're going to be short answers and direct to the point. But first, we've got one call to do. Gene is in Regina. Good morning, Gene.
Hi, good morning. Gonna miss you when you're gone, Jay.
Oh, thanks.
If I can slip in two quick ones. I've got some well-established roses that look very much like their yellow rose, very much like the wild roses.
Yep.
And they're against a building that I need to do some repair on. Do I have to wait until they're dormant to move them?
Yes. If you move them right now, they'll be done.
Okay. And the other quick question is there a hibiscus that will overwinter here with TLC?
No. Indoors, yes, but not outside.
Yes, indoors, but not outside.
Not a chance.
Okay. Good enough. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Gene. Take care. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Gene was quick. That's good. Okay, here we go. The text line. Cheryl says, I've got four varieties of potatoes, and none of them are blooming. They already started to lay down, so will not bloom. What causes the potatoes not to bloom, and will they still produce new potatoes?
Yeah, not likely, but, you know, I've seen stranger things. But what the what has happened is that we had cool moisture in the spring and cool temperatures and lots of moisture, and now we've had high heat with a lot of humidity as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really hard for a lot of vegetable plants, and that's why you're going to get a lot of yellowing and a lot of not producing heads on, you know, just like we talked about the broccoli and those kind of things, you know, cauliflower not producing. And that's the reason why is it's just been a stressful season, both early, even the fruit trees, they had that early frost that hit the blooms. And so we've had a lot of different weather patterns that affected it. And there again, moisture is a big key. Keeping consistent moisture is key for a lot of those plants to produce. And also potatoes are heavy feeders. So you need to fertilize with them. Otherwise they won't do a lot of producing, and putting those micronutrients into the garden is huge for the vegetables.
Okay. This next text, Brenda from Young says, planted cotone asters in a cleared tree line, but the ground is really thick with old pine needles and cones. Cotone aster leaves are now turning brown and the plants aren't really growing. Any advice?
You may have to do a pH test on the soil. The first thing I would do, and if it's really low, then you need to add some lime, and that'll perk them back up again. But do the pH test first, and that'll tell the whole story.
Okay. Bev is texting from Maidstone, says, my astilbe, which was planted this year, has some brown on some of the leaves, but there's new growth, and the plant looks otherwise healthy. What would be the problem? She says she doesn't see any bugs on it.
No, brown on astilbe is probably from a little bit of leaf scorch.
Mm.
And so astilbes like to be more in more shade than sun. I mean, they can be the Stelladora and the Pardon Me can go a little bit more in the sun, but most of them like to be in partial shade and not in the hot, hot part of the sun. So you might be getting just a little bit of leaf scorch on some of the leaves.
Okay. Just a comment we had from somebody who was texting us about the potatoes. We had the potato question lastly. Somebody said there are some new varieties of potatoes that don't need blooms to produce.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah,
that's possible too, I guess. Okay, let's go to our next text. Al in Regina says, mountain ash. The leaves are looking yellow. The top is dead. What can I do?
If the leaves are looking yellow, it's probably chlorotic, which means that you're there again. Another pH question is testing the pH, because mountain ashes will go chlorotic if the pH is too high in more alkaline soil. So you need to add aluminum sulfate. But if they're dying, also watch if you had any browning leaves or rusty brown, you may have fire blight in them. Or like I'm looking at a mountain ash right now. The reason why the leaves are yellow and small is because the sapsucker hit that side of the tree, and not the other side, but just the one side of the tree, and now the leaves are yellow and small.
Okay. Violet in Priestville on the text line. I'm having a problem with my yellow onions this year. The greens are turning yellow and wilting. When I pull the onion up, it looks like dry rot. I've checked for maggots. It's not those. Wondering if there's anything that I can do to treat them.
Yeah, you might have had a fungal in the soil, and you might have just had, like I said, like she said, exactly what it is a dry rot. So if that's the case, just watch your seed source next year and plant them in a different location next year. That's going to be the key. Don't plant them in the same location.
Okay, so nothing we really can do there, right?
Nothing I can do other than changing location.
Another question from Linda in Regina. My potatoes have grown about 1 foot, lots of greenery, but there's no flowers. Does that mean I won't have any potatoes? You know,
no,
may or may not.
May or may not, but the chances are that you will. And so just if you want, you can always dig down and see if you can find one that's, you know, like you'd normally go and steal a potato anyways, you know, this time of the year, little baby potato. Just go down and check to see whether it's producing anything. But also this time of the year, consistent watering and putting some more nutrients for those potatoes is huge to help them finish off.
This is from not sure who, but says, I have a couple of daylilies that have never bloomed. They're 4 years old. Is there anything I can do to make them bloom?
Daylilies that never bloomed for 4 years. What I would suggest you do is this fall, or otherwise early next spring, is just dig them up and replant them again. That stress will make them bloom. They'll bloom under some kind of a stress. So that's what I would do to try to get them if they never bloom. But you have to do that in the fall, like in basically end of September, or even the better time to do that is basically in April.
Okay. One more. Good morning. I planted some irises at least 5 years ago, but they've never bloomed as well. Leaves are fine. They're against the east fence, so not a lot of sun.
Yeah, that's
could that be the problem?
You need to move them where the sun is. They won't bloom if they're in that much shade.
Okay.
They need the hot sun.
Well, that pretty much does it for today, Rick. That's it. We've got one text we'll answer off the air here we didn't get to. But, yeah, that's it for the show today, and that's it for me.
That's it for you. Thank you very much, Jay, for your years of service in the show. It's been an awesome time. And good luck and best of times in your new job at Mytel Honda. So, like I said before, if someone's looking for a car, we'll talk to Jay at Mytel Honda in Saskatoon.
Well, thanks very much. Yeah, I've learned lots from you, Rick, and had a blast doing this, too. It's been a pleasure to come in and talk to all of you on Sunday every morning. So, thanks again for listening, and the show will continue same time, same place next weekend. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.